This is Jack Vaughn. I'm here today, and we are doing a special edition of our Talking Data podcast. It's been a heck of a year. The predictability on the air was unpredictable, and we covered a bunch of stuff, certainly machine learning and Internet of Things. I, of course, am with Search Data Management, joined as per usual by Ed Burns from Search Business Analytics, and also joined today by our colleague and executive editor, Craig Stedman. And let's start, jump in with machine learning. And it's been certainly one of the hot buttons of the year. And are we at the point where we're able to see adoption, how that's panning out in dribs and drabs or in waves?
Well, it looks like more dribs and drabs to me at this point. Machine learning has definitely been one of the big stories of the year. It seems like it's just kind of taking over everything in software. Every piece of software we're seeing coming out has some kind of machine learning component to it. And then especially when you expand that out to talk about artificial intelligence, the hype this year has just been huge. Everyone's talking about artificial intelligence. It's just been a really, really big story. And for good reason in some ways, I think. It seems like some people are doing some pretty interesting things with it. When you look at, for example, what Google is doing around things like image recognition, it's pretty impressive stuff. But when you think more about what the typical enterprise is doing with this technology, it's not quite so impressive at this point, I think. Earlier this year, I was out at in Las Vegas for the World of Watson conference, I was trying to talk to some attendees about their perspectives on Watson, and it seemed like a lot of people are still just kind of trying to figure out what to do with it, where it would fit into their business. Doesn't seem like there's really a ton of adoption there. And just last week, I was talking with Mike Galtieri from Forrester, and he referenced a survey that he recently took part in, which pretty much backed that up. They surveyed a bunch of business users, and it turned out only 12% are currently using an AI application in production right now. The far greatest number was 58% who are still evaluating the technology. So it doesn't look like something that, at least for right now, is being put to very great use by enterprises. Going into 2017, that certainly might change, but for right now, not seeing a ton of adoption.
One of the things I've seen is, say, in data preparation, the ISVs, the independent software vendors, are starting to bring in this advanced machine learning to do some of the job of separating out the good software, the good data from the bad, and it may be appearing in, but not so visible. Craig?
Well, I was just asking, Ed, has the focus of AI changed, though, to where now people, vendors at least, are at least trying to make it more applicable to business uses as opposed to maybe in the old days? I mean, AI's been around for decades, but it was kind of a big, hairy, scientific thing in the past that never really lived up to its potential in the past. So as the focus... Is this an AI of a different kind, essentially?
Yeah, I think certainly it is. In some ways, it almost seems like we're kind of defining AI down when we talk about it. A lot of what you see being called AI today seems like it's just kind of a machine learning application, which is certainly a legitimate component of AI, I would think, but maybe not the true promise of AI. And even at its best, it seems like what we're calling AI today is kind of, things like chat bots that can have a conversation with someone online. Not the true AI that, like you mentioned, we've talked about in the past, kind of more application-specific uses of the technology.
Yeah, that really seemed to come come to the fore this during 2016, and so maybe it'll be interesting to see if it goes anywhere in 2017 or just it becomes another AI disappointment of a new kind of AI disappointment.
Absolutely.
Another sidelight that I've been looking at in this regard is the new kinds of hardware that have been employed for machine learning. Doing okay?
I think so.
So that includes graphical processor units and field programmable gate arrays. And the scary thing there is that, you know, we've certainly gotten to a certain point in distributed computing in the last 10 years because of commodity hardware. And when we get into the things we just discussed, GPUs and FPGAs, we're moving a bit beyond that. The people that seem to be in the forefront are the big cloud folks, IBM, Google, Amazon, and Microsoft, who are starting to, I guess you could say Oracle too, is starting to fashion unique software to do cloud specifically, or generally, but also machine learning specifically. And again, this moves up the complexity. It was kind of exciting recently when Amazon announced a field programmable gate array as a service, and you could design it. But I think everyone should wait to see more details on that, in the sense that typically electrical engineers have done this, and it's been trial and error, and not an overnight sensation. So we may come across the same things you pointed to, Craig, in terms of the history of AI, that the hype may run ahead of the reality.
And one thing that I think is really interesting about that is going back a few years, I guess, at this point, it seemed like all of the technology vendors were fleeing hardware as quickly as they could and just wanted to get into the software market almost exclusively. But now it seems like we are seeing a little bit of a resurgence of hardware, and people care about this again, and people are looking to get back into the hardware market.
Yahoo is another company that is deployed GPUs as part of its big data architecture to do machine learning applications, advanced machine learning applications, or support to run advanced machine learning applications that Yahoo IT people, IT managers who I spoke with, said that you know they weren't that conventional CPUs weren't capable of handling. Also, I was at a conference I was at in July. Gartner analyst Merv Adrian did a presentation as part of that. He is about Hadoop and big data in general, but as part of that, he said that they expect to see a lot more use of GPUs going forward for those reasons to basically to support, you know, more advanced, heavy-duty analytics applications that conventional CPUs can't,
And I'd add that people are doing the training of the deep learning machine on the GPU and still trying to use regular CPUs for the runtime. I'm going to shift a little. All this, of course, machine learning is driven by a lot of available data. And the Internet of Things is making a lot of that data available. Sometimes it's as mundane as a cell phone being a thing. And but there's a lot to look at there, Ed. You've covered it, and I think in a bit of light of looking how analytics is playing out in the Internet of Things space.
That's right. And I think it's kind of interesting to contrast it with what we were just talking about with AI, where with AI there's just all this hype, yet we're not really seeing such impressive adoption at this point. It's kind of the opposite for IoT right now. It's not quite as hyped, although it certainly does have some excitement and buzz around it, but nowhere near the hype that we're seeing for AI. But at the same time, it seems like we're seeing a lot more businesses who are actually using the technology right now and doing very practical things with it. Obviously, predictive maintenance is one of the big use cases for that. But there's really just all kinds of use cases you can apply it to. And going back to when I was out at the World of Watson conference, just looking at the agenda with the user sessions, you could find dozens of people who are using IoT technology in their operations today, whereas a lot of the more Watson-specific sessions were more, you know, kind of far out, looking down the road at what we might eventually be able to use it for. So yeah, it seems like today, while it might not have quite the hype, IoT is kind of making more of an actual business impact.
Visa was one, I think, that you speak, right?
That was at the SaaS conference.
Analytics conference, but you're doing payments via IoT devices instead of people having to show their credit cards, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and they're getting just a ton of customer data from that, and you know, customer data can be kind of gold for businesses like that. Tailor their marketing campaigns, and they're even starting a data service for the vendors that they work with to give those vendors some intelligence on the customers that are shopping at their locations. So yeah, just another application that a large business is actually getting some tangible value out of today.
Yeah, and you mentioned predictive maintenance. So I did a story on that back in the spring, and that is one. You know, that's definitely one area where organizations, large organizations, are looking to take advantage of IoT data to to try to predict equipment failures before they. I mean, well, the whole idea is to predict equipment failures before they occur, so that you can head them, you know, do some maintenance work and avoid having your equipment go down. So, in the cases, I mean, there's cases like elevators, or you know, industrial mail sorters, where they're doing these analytics to try to avoid unplanned downtime. So, but I think they were still at the stage of pilot projects primarily, and I think in the case of Visa too, it was kind of a pilot thing where they're, you know,
they're rolling
it out in a few countries. So I think that'll be another interesting thing to watch in 2017 is whether these things really pan out as on a large scale as opposed to pilot mode.
Well, yeah, predictive maintenance, Internet of Things, machine learning, hardware for training machine learning. It's been somewhat fun to follow, and we'll keep on the track. And we'll always be happy to when you join us for the Talking Data podcast. I'd like to thank both Craig and Ed for being with us on this edition.